I told Brother Freddie that the preacher said he was going to try to keep it short tonight. He said he'd hold his breath. So we'll probably need somebody to go out there and resuscitate Brother Freddie here in a little bit. I would like to try to keep it short tonight and just share with you some challenges from Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 12 through 18. And really, as we think about these young people going back to school, I want to give them a challenge, but this challenge really is for all of us. I think it's good for us to be reminded of how important it is for us to stand out and be different in the world. It's easy to go along, to get along, but God wants us to be different. Amen. We spent a week at church camp, at teen camp, and that was the theme Brother Steve preached on all week. And what a great truth that God has called us to be different, to make a difference. There's too many Christians in the world today that think we ought to be like the world to kind of attract the world, but that's not at all what God's called us to do. Amen. He's called us to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. He's called us to be holy as He is holy. And these young people that are here tonight, I want you guys to know you have a unique opportunity to stand out in your school for Jesus. I know sometimes we just want to fit in. We don't want to be different. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves. And I'm not talking about self-promotion tonight. I'm talking about just living like you're saved. Amen. And that'll make you different. Amen. When you live like you're saved, you'll put yourself in a position to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes when you're in school, you can draw the wrong kind of attention to yourself. After one day at school, a first grade boy went home and he told his mom, he said, "Mom, the teacher asked me today if I have any brothers or sisters who will be coming to school over the next several years." And she said, "Well, that was nice of her to be interested in you, sweetheart. What did she say when you told her that you were an only child?" And he said, "Well, teacher said, what a relief." You know, sometimes teachers are glad there's only one of you because you're special, different. In a way that they can only handle one of. But we want to be special. We want to be different. We want to stand out for different reasons. We want to stand out because we're living out our salvation and we're lifting up the gospel. If you're able, let's stand together. Philippians 2:12. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Father in heaven, please bless your word as we look to it tonight. I pray that you'd help us to rightly divide it. I pray that you'd convict our hearts, Lord. I pray that you would, just by your Spirit, give us the power to live out our salvation, to lift up the gospel. And Father, for those who are here that have never been born again, Lord, they know deep down in their heart tonight if they died without you, they would end up in hell forever. And I pray that tonight they would turn away from their sin and unbelief, that they would put their faith in Christ alone. Please help me to preach your word by your Spirit. Please move in our midst tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. Very quickly, two things I want to challenge you with tonight. Number one, live out your salvation. And number two, lift up the gospel. Live out your salvation. As Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he's in prison, and he says, "As you've always obeyed," in verse 12, "not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." I want you to notice that he didn't say to work for your salvation, but to work out your salvation. And really, basically, what this means is you're saved, now live like you're saved. This is the same thing that James tells us, that faith without works is dead, being alone. If you have real faith, it's going to be worked out. It's going to be evidenced by the way you live your life. You ought to live as though you're saved. In other words, You were on your way to heaven and you were a child of the devil, but then you trusted in Christ. He gave you eternal life, made you a child of God. He's given you a home in heaven. His Spirit lives inside of you. You're a new creature in Christ, so you ought to live like you're saved. Your works, your actions, the things that you do ought to evidence the fact that you've been born again. And he said, when I was there, you were obedient, and now much more in my absence. Now, I would think that if the Apostle Paul is at your church week in and week out, it might be easier to live for Jesus than it would be when he's hundreds of miles away in prison. You think that the Apostle Paul might have had a positive impact on the people in the church? And when you had somebody like him to look up to, somebody who literally gave everything up for the cause of Christ, somebody who suffered so much for the cause of Christ, somebody who had so much joy no matter what happened in his life, and who just loved Christ with all his heart, man, that would be contagious. It would have an impact in your life. And he says so much more now. Listen, as you go through your day-to-day life and as you young people go to school, listen, mom and dad aren't going to be there. And grandma and grandpa aren't going to be there. And your pastor's not going to be there. And your Sunday school teacher and your Wednesday night teachers aren't going to be there. You're going to be absent from them. And that doesn't mean you need to live for Jesus less. You need to live for Jesus that much more.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. God bless you, sweetheart. In my absence, much more, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because I want you to know, have you ever been caught doing something wrong? Some of y'all lying right now. Some of you are like, I never got caught. Yeah. Bull. Listen, we get caught doing things wrong. Sometimes you get caught. Sometimes you forget to look good before you put your hand in the cookie jar and you turn around and mama's standing there. You know? Sometimes you get caught. I promise you, every time I go in to raid the pantry, Melissa somehow has this sense about her and she knows. And while I'm rummaging through the cabinet, I turn around and she's there. And sometimes it happens in life, somebody's always there to catch you. But I want you to know this. If you look to the left, you look to the right, you look ahead of you, you look behind you, and you don't see anybody, you think you can get away with it, you need to remember to look up.
Amen.
Because there's a God in heaven who sees not only what we do, but he sees every thought that we have. Listen, you guys are going to be absent from mom and dad and all your people at church, but God is going to be watching over you when you go back to school. So live for him. Live out your salvation with fear and with trembling, knowing that God is going to hold you accountable for what you say and what you do. See, I know how some of you are. Probably especially some of you students back there on the back row. You act one way when you're at church. You act another way when you're at home. You act another way when you're at school. You act another way when you're with your friends outside of school. It's like you have multiple personality disorder, and you're not really sure who you really are. Well, I want to plead with you to be who Christ has called you to be.
Amen.
Whether you're at home, whether you're at school, whether you are at whatever your sports activities are, whether you're with your friends outside of school, that you live out your salvation. He says, he talks about his will, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We live out our salvation by doing God's will. It's his will that we want to accomplish in our lives, not our will. You know, a lot of people have this idea that, you know, God wants me to be happy, so I should do whatever makes me happy. The problem is what makes a lot of us happy is the pleasure of sin. And God's not in favor of that. No matter how happy it makes you for how long of a time, though it'll be a short season, God doesn't want you to live in sin. We need to seek out God's will. And that's the example Jesus Christ gave us. Not my will, but thy will be done. It's his will according to his good pleasure. It's his work and to do of his good pleasure. What we do matters. What you do, listen to me. The way you live your life will not determine whether you go to heaven or not. We're not saved by what we do. We're saved by faith in what Christ did. But what you do does matter after you're saved. It matters how you live your life. And we ought to seek to do His will. We ought to seek to do the things that please Him. That's what Jesus did. He always did the things that pleased His Father. I believe our time in the Word of God, our time here at church, our time coming to Sunday school and worship and preaching and all those things ought to have an impact on our life.
Amen.
A little boy asked his dad, he said, "Dad, did Grandpa make you go to Sunday school when you were my age?" His dad said, "Yep, son, we went every Sunday." Little boy kind of hung his head and he said, "I bet it won't do me any good either." That's pretty rough, isn't it? Grandpa made you go to Sunday school, but it had no lasting impact on your life. And I want to tell you that when we spend time in God's Word, it ought to make a difference. Listen, friends, if you can come and listen to the preaching and the teaching and you get convicted in your heart and you know some things need to change in your life, but you're unwilling to lay down that sin and to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to walk in His righteousness, there's something wrong. If you can do that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, if the Word of God makes no change in your life, something's not right. It ought to make a difference in what we do because we're concerned about His will. It's His will, His work, His way. Notice that He says in verse 14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world." We ought to not be the ones who are murmuring and complaining. We shouldn't be the ones that are arguing, disputing, and fighting. We shouldn't be the ones who are always being accused of wrongdoing. We're to be blameless. That means that whatever accusation somebody throws at you, it won't stick. They can't get a hold of it. They may try to pin something on you, but it won't stick. You have no handles where they can pull you down by their accusation. We ought to be blameless. We ought to be harmless. We ought to be kind and loving. I want to tell you this. The students that are in here that go to school around here, you go to Liberty, you go to Moffitt, you go to Muldrow, you go to Gans, wherever you go. Listen, you ought to be the best students in your school. It ought to be automatic because you're just trying to live like Jesus. Not because you're better than anybody, because you're not, but because you're trying to live out your salvation. You're living to be like Christ without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. There was a young lady who went with some friends, and they were going to go explore a coal mine. And they went to the coal mine, and you know they had the old shaft, and you get on the elevator, and it goes down, and one of the young ladies in the group showed up in a white dress. And she asked the guide, she said, "Can I go down into the coal mine in a white dress?" And he said, "You sure can. But it's not likely that you'll come back out in a white dress."
Amen.
That white dress is going to be stained by the time you come back out.
Amen.
You guys understand tonight that it's going to be difficult to go out into this world. We're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And we're going to have to guard ourselves if we're going to stay clean for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be really careful who our influences are. We're going to have to be really careful who our friends are. Crows are a pesky bird, and anybody who's ever had a garden or tried to farm knows how terrible crows can be. And crows are smart. They're some of the smartest birds on the planet. They're pretty amazing because if a farmer walks outside without a shotgun, the crows will hang out. But if they see him with a shotgun, they tend to fly away. But there was a farmer who went out one day and he caught him and he shot at a flock of crows and he hit a lot of them. And he went out to inspect the damage and he saw that his parrot was with the crows. And one of his kids was upset and he said, "Dad, what happened? What happened to the parrot?" He said, "Well, he was running with the wrong crowd." You guys understand tonight that if you run with the wrong crowd, you are the wrong crowd? See, I've heard countless moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles lament and weep over their child or grandchild or niece or nephew who got away from the Lord, who got out into the world, who did all these terrible things, and then always the same. They started running with the wrong crowd. Now, their kid is never the wrong crowd in their eyes, but I want you to understand, when you're running with the wrong crowd, you are the wrong crowd. And you need to be careful as you go back to school who your friends are. You need to be careful who your influences are. So many of you are involved with different things and you tend to run around, and in schools around, it seems like they always have these cliques. And you have all the different cliques. Well, I want to challenge you young people that if you're going to gather up with somebody, it ought to be people who love Jesus. Not the jocks or the nerds or the band geeks or whatever other cliques you may have at your school, but you get together with other young people who love Jesus, who want to live for Him. Live out your salvation and lift up the gospel. Look at verse 16, holding forth the word of life. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now get this. These people were faithful in church. They were doing really good when he wrote them the letter. But Paul understood something. I labored in vain. I ran in vain. If you don't stay faithful to Jesus, all the tears that I poured into your life, all of the teaching and preaching that I poured into your life, all of the work that I did in your life to give you the gospel and help you live for Jesus, it won't matter at all if you don't stay faithful. You see that? I hope I didn't run in vain or labor in vain, because I want to see you stay faithful, that you are holding up the word of life, that you are lifting up the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. You're not going to be an effective witness for Jesus if you don't live out your salvation, if it doesn't have a real impact in your life. But when you are real, when your relationship with Christ is real, when you're in the word and you're praying and you're staying separate from the things of the world, then you can speak the word of God with boldness and make a real difference in other people's lives. Let me ask you a question. How many of you that are going back to school in a couple of weeks want your friends from school to be saved? I see your hands. I mean, think about it. We know that, you can put your hands down, we know that heaven is real. We know that hell is real.
Amen.
We know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way for people to get to heaven.
Amen.
And you will not be an effective witness if you don't live it out and if you don't lift up the word of God. If you want to be a witness for Jesus, then you're going to have to live out your salvation. You're going to have to live as though you're really saved. And when you do that, you can with boldness proclaim the gospel. You can declare how that Jesus Christ has changed your, not only eternal destiny, but he's changed every part of your life. I got bad news for you. Most of the people that work in this town aren't going to heaven. Most of the people who go to school in this town aren't going to heaven. Most of the people that we meet day in and day out are not going to heaven. The Bible's clear that most are on the broad path that leads to destruction. But God wants to use us to help people turn around, to get on that straight and narrow path. So let's live out our salvation, and let's lift up the gospel. Let's be bold in our witness to tell our friends how Christ died for them and rose again. Tonight we're going to get ready for an invitation. Will you stand with me? What I've told you tonight won't really matter at all if you're not saved. If you've never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, if you've never repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what I mean is you've never been born again, you've never been saved. You can be saved tonight if you cry out to Jesus. If you've been saved, I plead with you to take the next step and be baptized, join the church, be faithful, and grow together in the church. Whatever the Holy Spirit is leading you in tonight, will you come right now while we sing?